name is Jin Ju. I have a passion for capturing events. Today, I'm gonna meet Andrew Yan for the first time.
I understand why you're looking crazy. And the demons fill me up, got me feeling hazy. All I got is the light, him keep me up. Like a thief in the night, him creeping up.
You know that what we did to the manufacturing jobs, we will now do to the retail jobs, the call center jobs, the fast food jobs, the truck driving jobs, and on through the economy.
And I'm going to be offering real solutions. Americans will immediately see the difference, and that's how we're going to win in 2020.
A closing statement that was perfectly crafted, got to his main stuff, and told you why he's different and why that's good and why it goes to the question of electability. Andrew Yang.
I am that candidate. I can build a much broader coalition to beat Donald Trump. It is not left. It is not right. It is forward. And that is where I'll take the country in 2020.
Yeah, so that's kind of a little bit of a preview, and it's interesting to look back at that, you know, having captured it 2020 and, you know, looking at what the promise is now and, you know, how he's continuing to kind of communicate the message of the initial promise. So it's definitely worth checking out, and I just love Ching's development and, you know, how she kind of explains that she accidentally kind of fell in love with the whole idea and the movement as she was capturing it. So
yeah, that's something she'll tell us in more detail. And yeah, I think some of the best things are things that are unexpected, right? The things that happen. And this whole her artistic talent and what she was trying to do initially and where she started, where she ended up is. It's a very interesting story, and it's no surprise to me that it won the awards it did.
Yeah, 100%. I can't wait to see what she does next. And she'll be telling us a little bit more about that too. So with that,
great.
Let's kick it over to Ms. Ching Jewel and Ariel.
Ariel, you were on with me with the group, I think, and I interview people from all over the world. Since pandemic and before pandemic, I'm already started with Yangon. So I've done like 190 episodes so far.
Yes, I remember. Oh, go ahead, Asya.
No problem. Ching, I'm just so inspired by your story and all of your work. You know, recently the word polymath has been thrown around quite a bit, and you're one of the first people that. Just seeing, I mean, because you played the viola, you were a musician, you were very decorated, and, you know, you kind of threw yourself into all of these hyper interest areas. I mean, you learn how to film and how to direct and edit, and you did it on an iPhone, and you obviously came over here and found success, and, you know, now you're doing all of these different projects. So I think that you're a polymath to watch in that way, like truly.
Thank you.
And it's really incredible that, you know, obviously you're female, you know, and you're a minority that speaks to me and a lot of women out there. So I'm just so glad and so pleased to see the work that you're doing. And so post-pandemic interviews, I don't know if we have time right now, but I would definitely like to hear more about that, maybe off camera, about, you know, who you're talking to or who you'd like to talk to. You know, whether that's just, you know, people that have been through it, doctors. Are you in New York? You're in New York now, right?
Yeah. I'm in Manhattan. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. I'm trying to get there soon, one day.
Yeah, and she's also a delight that whenever she comes to Los Angeles, she invited me to
the rock show.
Rock show, a karaoke.
You do a rock show?
Something like that. It was very
rock
it was
opera.
It was a rock. Yes, it was in Santa Monica, California. We met, we talked, we exchanged information. It was great. That was number one. And then number two was actually for her film. We watched the whole My Yangon Diary in a place in downtown LA
Regal Cinema.
Exactly. It was the Regal Cinema, and we got to talk, and before her The Yang Gang Diary, remember we watched that movie on that kid with autism?
Can I just ask a question just to kind of center the two of you? I love the way that you met and, you know, just how organic it was. And it just seems like there's a kinship there. I mean, for a lot of reasons, Ariel, that I know you want to talk about. Ching, you've talked about your movie so many times and it's been so successful. Ariel, I didn't realize that you actually watched it in its entirety and with Ching. From an outside perspective, how did the film make you feel?
The Yang 2020 campaign and universal basic income has a very like special place with me, because I felt as though every single time I looked at politics, I felt that there were all these lofty promises being made that the politicians would never talk about how we actually go through the nuts and bolts to fulfill these promises. Now, when I heard Andrew Yang speak and the way that he spoke and he talked about things, that inspired me. And to see that when we went over to places like Santa Monica, California and downtown LA, and we're marching for Andrew Yang, we're talking about universal basic income and all of those things, and to watch just the My Yang Gang Diary film, that all those friendships that I made and all those people that I got to know and the things that we did and the kind of message that we were trying to send, we were part of this U.S. national family that saw like a brighter future for our country and all of that stuff. That's the way it made me feel. And I was really happy. I was just among people who just got what was going on and wanted to do something about it.
And real quick, Ching, is that the feeling that you wanted to evoke when you were making the movie, when you were shooting? What did you want people to take away from it?
At first, I went to the first event where Andrew Yang was doing his, rally. That was like, I had no idea who Andrew Yang was. I went just because I love capture events. So the first event I went and I was like not really prepared to know, because my friend asked me to go. And then after that, I went to more events, and every event I go, I shoot. I just love capturing. Mm. And then a month after the first dosage, I read Andrew Yang's book, The War on Normal People, and that really sold me. So after that, and I think it's like I have never seen a political campaign is like that. I've never seen people canvass like that. I've never seen people are so crazy about somebody is running for primary, you know, presidential candidate. To me, it was fascinating at the beginning. And later on, I started to just always look for things to do. Like nobody, at the beginning, people asked me to go shoot. But later on, I just went shooting myself. And so I didn't really plan to make a feature documentary. I just shoot, you know, events after events. So when Andrew Yang suspended his campaign, I was kind of devastated. And then also pandemic came shortly. So I had a lot of time to think, what should I do? So I put everything together. I had like 200 hours of material. Yeah.
Wow.
I had a quick question.
Hi,
I'm Bryce down here. Yeah, I'm not trying to be antisocial. I'm on an old iPad, like an ancient iPad. I can't see. I can see you. I can't see me. But I did have a quick question. I really don't look like that. Just a random icon there. But in any case, I was looking at your background here. And so you said you just like following events. So you're just always shooting something, right? Was there other political campaigns or anything that you followed? Or did you just basically stumble into this, thought it was interesting, and then went with it? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I have never done any political thing before. I have shoot a lot of rallies, a lot of protests, a lot of people, you know, shouting universal basic income. 3 years of March, I shoot them. I also made short films, yeah. And yeah, so for NGNs, it was kind of like just stumble on it. And then I was just fascinated by the people. It's not like I was like only worship Andrew Yang, you know. I really want to capture these crazy people, you know. Why are they doing that? And then eventually I became one of them. Then they just let me shoot, let me interview them. So I think I have access to my comrades. That's a difference.
Well, that's great. Okay. So you were just capturing the moment and now you've become part of the movement. Now, do you have anything set up with Andrew? Do you have any future endeavors? Or, I mean, you probably got a lot of future work here trying to iron out, but what's going, is there anything good going on or right now?
You mean with NGN?
Yeah. Or anything no. Are you doing any official videoing for anything for him or Forward or anything like that?
Not really. I was never official of his team. I'm just independent. I was never really official of Andrew Yang's team. I would love to have his team reach me out because I'm in New York, you know, they know me how I work, you know. I think I really delivered. I even wrote to Andrew Yang. I said, I have a small machine, but I deliver big. And then he gave me a star. He gave me a heart.
I think what's so interesting is how organic it is. And when you talk to great filmmakers, a lot of the time they have some story like this where it wasn't something that they were aiming for. And it kind of just evolved because of what, you know, what they were witnessing or what they were observing. So it seems like you were just seeing something you hadn't seen before. You know, you had your pulse. You had the pulse on kind of like what was happening around you because you were just capturing, doing rallies, and you saw something, a response that you hadn't seen.
If I may, I'm just a straightforward person. Let me just address the elephant in the room. Ching, does Yang ever have like an audience with you at any time? Does Yang ever have an audience with you? Like any time, like one-on-one? Ching, you remember Padgett Kagi?
Yeah.
You remember like when she was making all those videos and she was constantly live streaming and doing all that she did for the Yang Gang in LA?
She's one of the inspiration. She is one of my inspiration. Yeah, I watch her a lot. Yeah.
Yes. But the thing is that Yang gave her an audience throughout the campaign multiple times. She got to see him. She got to interview him. She got to be like best buddies with him. What about you, Ching? How many times does he acknowledge you, or does he have an audience with you or anything like that? Is what I want to know.
Yeah. He does not really know me very much, but I followed him in New York, in Connecticut, went to Iowa for 2 weeks, and there he saw me filming. I don't know he knows me still, but oh yeah, I go there, sometimes have him sign my book, yeah. And then I told him I'm Ching and this and that. So, and I also filmed him in, New Hampshire, have some really fun footage. You know, he came to 4 o'clock from Utica, Iowa, and then 4 o'clock in the morning we went to greet him in the airport. That scene is very funny and very fun. So gradually, when he lost, and I, yeah, I very oh I remember now, he started to run for mayor. That's 2021, right? Yeah. But I think that 2021, January 4th, that is, I gave myself a deadline. And that's the day I showed my film on YouTube as a premiere. And a lot of Yang Gang came. I was like, I think it was like, I don't know, 100 people. And later on, 800 people saw the whole movie. That's the first version, actually. And so, I've been telling Andrew Yang's team continuously for a whole year. I say, here, take a look at this. Maybe it will helpful for your mayoral campaign. And then they get about get back with me, not NGM, but their team, said, we don't want to mix 2020 with the 2021 mayorship. So they didn't use my movie.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, as much as we were a part of this and as much as we like his ideas, I just think that they make a mistake that they ignore their most ardent supporters. I'm just going to address it right here. They don't, you know, and we're the grassroots and we've been showing us ourselves the support, but we should not be taken for granted. And I think here and there that happens. And I just wanted to let you know, Asia is going to share your story and promote the interview and the radio show and tag Andrew Yang in it, so he'll get properly acquainted with you. Because okay. Why should he be, you know, why should he ignore the most ardent supporters? Go ahead, Asia. Do you want to say something?
Oh, let me say something. Okay. I feel I wish Andrew is more sort of acknowledge me. But during the mayoral campaign, he sees me. I'm also shooting him. And he'll say, hey, Xing, you know, like that. So he knows my first name. And then eventually I bug him a lot, you know, because he's my Twitter, you know, he followed me on Twitter. So eventually November, there's an event. He had a winery event, and he did a show. It was filmed by professional people. So I went online to greet him and have him sign book. Then I prepared my movie on a USB because I tried to reach him. I couldn't. So I said, Andrew, this is the movie. Please watch it. You know, and this is the second version, which is the version of now. It's a little bit better, I think. So hopefully he watched it. And then I said, can you give me a quote? So he, a month later, he actually quoted in December 2021. He said, a beautiful film that will make you believe in people, you know? And then yeah. So mm-hmm. Then I have to give him credit. Although I feel a little bit left alone sometimes. And also I have to say that, I don't know if this is a kosher to air, I saw so many cameras following him on his campaign for presidential. I haven't seen any documentary out there yet, you know, because I really did my work, you know. I edited 8 months, you know,
for my 8 months.
So yeah, but Andrew, so when my film was showing in New York on March 18th, and we gave him 6 weeks before, told him the event. And the festival also invited him, right? The mm-hmm. film was shown in the theater. And in the end, he did not come. And so the day before...
He did not come.
The day before the film, I still did not hear from him, you know? So I was very mad. I had like two glasses of wine. And then I tweeted him. I said, I am about to divorce someone whom I devoted for the last 3 years. And then I add to Andrea. And then it was like next morning, yeah. Like 7 a.m., he tweeted me back. He said, oh, I'm so sorry, Ching. I'm in Florida or something. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
It's always something.
Right. No, you're well within your rights. You put in like 8 months of your time, energy, heart, and soul into that.
I had a question. I was looking at your background here. So, I mean, you're an accomplished musician, right? I mean, is that something that you still pursue at all? Or have you just made that transition? You're talented in the arts. So it was the music a way to get to the point where you're doing these other things? Or how does that influence your life right now?
Oh, yeah, I am not performing as much as before. I was trained as a violinist and violist, and I taught in college for 15 years. And actually, I quit college so I can canvas for Andrew Yang. That was crazy. Yeah, I still teach. I teach violin, viola. Yeah, I have a studio teaching. But the difference is I'm not really actively performing. Other than that, I'm still doing music, But video or filming is something I've been doing for actually long time, like for 25 years. Yeah. So people think I just carry an iPhone to go in a movie. I have used so many different cameras. I know. Yeah. I went to NYU to study film and broadcast. And
so is your approach any different? Are you still just always ready to roll camera on something? And if it's interesting, you'll kind of cultivate it. How's your life changed after winning these awards and such?
I don't think my life has changed much. I think one thing surprises me is that I am able to put a feature together with the footage of iPhone. That's something I did not realize. And then I saw my film on big theater. It was like unbelievably good. So that's something I would never even knew I could make a film on smartphone and look that good. So that changes. So that gives me a lot of confidence. Now I could do more with smartphone. I'm going to Europe actually next week. I'm going to shoot. I'm making my second feature.
Where are you going?
Where? I'm going to Germany, Austria, and Croatia, and Greece.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
What's the top? What can you give us a hint? What is it for? What are you shooting?
It's about music. It's about kind of like a family story. Alto. It's called Alto. Four altos. Alto is someone plays the viola, like a middle voice. I'm covering one of the characters who is touring in Europe, and I'm going to shoot that. And then I have a lot of footage actually from previous shooting and talking about a Chinese viola teacher and in China, and who's 84 years old, still teaching viola.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who happens to be my teacher and my stepmother.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect.
That's like real quick, a heartwarming story.
I know.
Is the film, called Alto, you said?
Like Four Altos. Like four.
That's a good name.
I'm in it too. You know.
No, that's good, yeah. absolutely. So has your success opened up any doors? Have you had anybody contact you to do more, collaborate with you, anything like that? That's what I was hoping for.
I don't know. That's actually not because they saw my film. I made Black Lives Matter like three events, and one of the Black Lives Matters on my YouTube channel, and a German media company, they liked my footage, so they bought like 23 seconds of my work. It's going to be shown as a TV series in Europe,
you know,
television station. Yeah, it's like a PBS. Yeah.
I'm going to jump in. Is that okay? Hey,
yeah,
Bob Johnson here. Thank you for doing this. I wanted to ask you, you went to film school. Who inspired you? What kind of filmmakers inspired you to do your work now?
Oh, film school. I didn't really go to film school for 4 years. I went to music school for 7 years. Serious musician. Film school is because I've been fiddling around camcorders, different machines for a long time. I would say since late 80s. Then finally at 2008, I was like, let me go to have some courses, you know. So I enrolled NYU, New York University, has like a crash course for adult people. Yeah, so that school, that is really put me in the right track. Like we learn how to write, how to shoot, lighting, editing. Editing really helped me because I did not know how to edit before. So I just have cases of footage. So knowing how to edit and helps you to shoot as correctly and shoot better. So yeah, so start there. It just put me right track. Now, inspiration. I always love Woody Allen's film, although his film is not all that documentary. He has some documentary, but and also I like Michael Moore's style, and he does put himself in. I do not like to put myself in too much, but in My Yangon Diary, in the end, some friends made a suggestion after they saw the first version, which is 80 minutes. They said, "We do not know who you are. You need to tell us who you are, because it's called My Yangon Diary." So I started to add a little more voiceover and add a little more information of me, like, you know, very short, very quick description of where I came from, what did I do before, you know. So, and then along the way, it's through my journey, I told the story. Like, I did not know what's universal basic income. I didn't even know who Andrew Yang was. So I sort of just used myself's voice to tell the whole story. Yeah. So now, did I answer your question?
Because I teach film at a public school, an alternative school. So I want to, you know, talk to new filmmakers, especially with the iPhone. My students don't have the confidence with the iPhone, even though you can edit right now on the iPhone 2 really easily with iMovie. So I teach them. I teach them all the elements and the history of filmmaking, the history of the technology of filmmaking, the story of film. International filmmakers need to be recognized. There's so much great work that was done by a lot of the Asian filmmakers, as you probably are aware of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, South Korea right now with their kind of filmmaking, Squid Game and Parasite, those filmmakers certainly are on the cutting edge. So anyway, so that's why I was interested in answering that question.
By the way, a lot of my work, I edit on iMovie, a lot of the quick work, journalistic work. And to say who I really like as a filmmaker, I just watch tons of documentaries. For a while, I don't watch that much feature narrative film. So I always love the way how people tell their stories. And yeah, so I guess I'm inspired by all kinds of people, you know, not particularly like a Zhang Yimou kind of approach, which is very beautiful cinematographically, narrative. And yeah, I remember one of the first documentary I got really, really inspired is called Knowledge is the New Beginning. That film was actually out in 1995, so it's pretty early. It's about a music director of Chicago Symphony. His name is Daniel Barenboim, and he teamed up with another man who is I forgot his name, but he's a Palestine scholar. So they teamed together, formed an orchestra of younger people, so from both sides, the Palestinian side and also Israeli side, and they make music. So that documentary is amazing. Yeah. So
yeah, I saw that one. Ha! It's fabulous. Oh my god.
You did, right?
Great film.
I love it.
Wow.
What a great film. So, thank you so much for taking part in this.
You're welcome.
This radio program, Radio Uninvited. I know that Ariel is a big admirer of you and your film, and I really wanted to thank you. Did you have any last comments, Ariel or Asya?
Yeah, no, I just liked, you know, when she came here, she remembered me. She invited me twice to like things that were going on in LA. I mean, I just like, she's really warm and friendly, and we have a good time. And I just wanted people to see, because, you know, all this stuff that's going on with what's being said about Andrew Yang, like what he's doing now is a little different on what he did with 2020. But the 2020 energy in his presidential campaign, you meet great people, like friendly, lighthearted, passionate people who just want the best for the country. So I just wanted to bring that side of it to light. And I think Ching did that.
Yeah, I want you guys to see the film. I think, you know, I'm still not like sick of it because I've been editing for so long. Every time I watch, I still, you know, very emotional. Because all these people from different walks of life, you know, black, you know, brown, or, you know, Hispanic and white. I mean, just like young or, you know, unemployed professors, you name it. So people are just so amazing. I am just so blessed.
I had a quick question. So how would I go? What's the best way to go about for me to go about seeing your film or giving you support for your future work? Do you have a Patreon or anything like that? Or
I don't have Patreon. I don't have Patreon. You just go to a website, My Young Gun Diary, and then there's a button called Watch Now, and then it will lead you to Vimeo on demand, which will cost you $4.99. Yeah, you have to sacrifice.
It's a good deal. Good deal.
Well deserved. I can't wait to see it. I'm a little bit beside myself that I haven't checked out yet, but I was looking through and, you know, trying to find a way to view it. So thank you for mentioning that. And if you're just tuning in now, we are Radio Uninvited, WPKN 89.5 Bridgeport with Bob Johnson. I'm Asiya Hussein. Ariel is in the room with us and Bryce. And we are talking to award-winning filmmaker, content creator, video journalist, and accomplished musician, Chin Jewel. Chin, thank you so much for being here and sharing your incredible story with us.
Great. Amazing. Loved it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Beautiful.